Awake! Awake! 4 a.m. in China! Everyone awake? Who's not awake? Raise your hand.
They won't tell you.
I thought so. I came to tell you my story. It's only a story, don't worry. I'm not really from China. I was an Indian sadhu in India, and I was wandering through the mountains. I wandered too far. I ended up in China and trying to find my way back to India, I met an itinerant sage named Zhuang, and I studied with him. And this is what happened when I studied. You know, it's very hot in China, especially in southern China. I studied with Master Zhuang. Ah. Sadhus don't get that. Only gurus get that. I am only a disciple of Master Zhuang. But one day, I woke up with a dream. I dreamt that I had gone to Costa Rica, and I was dreaming of a morpho. You know, they have those beautiful butterflies there. I dreamt I was a morpho. And then I woke up and I wondered, but am I a morpho, dreaming I'm Shunya? And I asked Wang about it, and he said he had the same problem. But when I went to talk to him about it in more detail, he was drinking his tea as he always does, you know. It's hard, these Chinese clothes. But when you're studying as a morpho, I realized that my whole goal in life was to create a morphogenetic field. And so I began to study morphology, because I thought perhaps if everyone would turn into a butterfly, we would be able to make the world into a beautiful garden. You see? And so I told him this, and he had no reaction. He just poured me another cup of tea, and he said, "More tea?" And so I thought my name was going to be Shunya Morpho. But he said, "No, it's Shunya More Tea." And that's how it happened, you see. And so I've had to hide my morpho identity all these years. And I'm glad I can finally come out of the closet, you see, as a butterfly. Mariposa, it's interesting, yes. So in any case, I wanted to tell you a little bit about what I learned from Zhuangzi, in case you're interested. Which very few people are, by the way. But because my life was devoted to studying his wisdom, I thought I would bring you the book of his teachings, at least one translation of Zhuangzi, and how it happened that I became more involved in those teachings of his. First of all, when I was interested in finding out why did I end up in China without any intention of doing so, he read me this. The penumbra said to the shadow, penumbra, of course, is sort of the lighter side of the shadow, "First you were walking, then you're standing still, you're sitting, then you're upright. Why can't you decide on a single course of action?" Right? The shadow said, "But do I depend on something to make me as I am? Does what I depend on something else? Do I depend on it as a snake does on its skin? or a cicada on its shell? How would I know why I am so or not so? You see, can a shadow know why it's moving in a certain direction? Or does it depend upon what it is the shadow of? You see? So, do we know of what we are the shadow? Do we know who is dreaming both the morpho and shunya? Do you know who is dreaming you right now? And didn't a single dreamer bring us all together here and is dreaming us in this very moment as a single intelligence, a single butterfly garden? So, I began to study the teachings more diligently, and I found that this passage in chapter 6 is the key. And it's about a woman sage named Lady Ju. And one of her disciples, Nanbo Zikui, said to her, "You are old and yet your face is still that of a child. How is it possible? How is that possible?" To have such a young complexion at such an old age. And Lady Ju said, "It is because I have heard the Tao." Not because I'm wearing pancake makeup. No. "I have heard the Tao." We live in truth here. So he said, "May I learn the Tao?" And Lady Ju said, "No, no, how could you? You're not the right person for it." Now, Puliang Yi, he had the innate powers of a sage. And in this translation, the word is innate powers. But in the Burton Watson translation, they are the two that are considered the best. It says talents. You don't have the talents of a sage. So he had the innate powers or talents of a sage, but not the Tao of a sage. Now, this interested me a lot, because I had neither the talent nor the Tao of a sage. But at least I could try to figure out what were these two things that I was missing, you see. So he said, "I wanted to teach him, thinking that he would immediately become a sage, but it wasn't like that. It was still very easy to announce the Tao of a sage to one who already has the innate powers of a sage. But I kept after him, and indeed, after 3 days, he was able to put the world outside himself." All right? So that's step one. Have you all put the world outside of yourself? Or are you still in the world? Okay. Then it says, Lady Ju says, "After that, I kept him for 7 more days. Very interesting. 3 and then 7. And he was able to put his own life outside of himself." Have you put your own life outside of yourself? Or are you still living in the life of this character that is a shadow of who you really are? "With life fully cast out, the first rays of dawn could break through. And after the breaking through of the dawn, he could see the singularity." He saw the singularity. Have you yet seen the singularity? This is the key. "After seeing the singularity, he could free himself of past and present." I would add future, but let's stick with what Lady Ju says here. "Free of past and present, he could enter the unborn and the undying." Ajata Siddhanta, yes? The unborn. Have you realized you are the unborn and the deathless? Or do you still believe you are a mortal being? "Free of past and present, he entered the unborn, and then what kills all the living does not die." So, something is going in the end of time to kill all the living, but that which is real will not die. "It is something that sends all beings off and welcomes all beings in, destroys all and completes all. Its name is the tranquility of turmoil." Interesting. Now, in the other translation, it's more chaos, but it's the tranquility of the ultimate chaos of a ruined, destroyed world. Can you remain in perfect serenity and tranquility as that which is unborn and deathless in the midst of world destruction? Anyway, Nanbu asked her, "What did you learn of this?" And here's what she says. "I learned it from the son of Aided by Ink." In other words, somebody who has to read it, you know, to get it, like me, I'm afraid. See, but he learned it from the grandson of Caught in Recitation, right? Something that is recited orally from one who knows. Who learned it from Look and See, the one who is able to directly perceive the truth without need of any reading. And he learned it in Heard in a Whisper. Who learned it from In Need of Labor, the karma yoga that has to be done so that you can then hear the whisper of the real self as the still small voice in the higher mind. But he learned it from there in the singing, in the very voice of devotion that we have heard last night. There is that perfect tone of the real. But he learned it from dark oblivion, that darkness of the unknowing, who learned it from in the void, who learned it from before the beginning. And so we have to learn from that original teacher, and all the way through those different stages of learning that bring us back to the origin in which we are what we know, because we have never been born. This is the Tao of the sage. So the talents, yes, of course, there are many people with talents and powers, whether they are siddhis or someone who can do Reiki or a psychoanalyst who can interpret dreams and give interpretations and all of those kinds of things. But the question is, do you know when to interpret, when to give energy and when not to? When to let someone learn from their karma rather than try to heal them of something that then might require them to get yet another kind of karmic event in order to have to learn a certain lesson? Do you know when to be quiet, when to withdraw, and when to proceed? Do you understand the nuances of every event so that there is an accurate way of being that is in harmony with the Tao? So, in order to understand how do you do that, I began looking further into his words. And someone asked him, who misunderstood this need to be very subtle and very customized in the way that one relates to others, without some formula or without some sense of, well, I do this with people or I do that. No. The way of acting cannot be put into a formula that can be taught. You see, that's why when the Buddha, in his most famous sermon, he said not a word. He held up a flower. And it was said that Mahakashyapa was the only one who got the meaning of that sermon. But does that mean that everyone else was puzzled by it? I doubt it. There were thousands of bodhisattvas there. Only one got the real transmission. But I am sure every one of them thought, oh, we must, you know, be like the lilies of the field and toil not, or we must be a part of nature and not artificial, or we must be beautiful and blossoming and never withering, or whatever. Everyone got something, but none of them got the accurate transmission but one. And so are you getting the accurate transmission right now of what is being spoken, not just externally, but internally, by that voice that is so small and silent that it can only be heard when you are in accord with the Tao. So, Chang answers, no. You have a problem, and the problem is that you judge too prematurely. You see an egg and you try to get it to crow at dawn. You see a crossbow pellet and you try to roast it for your dinner, right? You got to catch first what the pellet is used to catch before you have dinner. But everybody wants instant gratification, instant diploma to be a master, a Reiki master or a master of this or that. Everyone wants to be a micro master. But can you be the real master? That requires a long period of silence and of humble learning from a master like Chuang Tzu. So how about listening to reckless words? Reckless words. How about listening recklessly? Do you know how to listen recklessly? This is the key. Not to listen in accord with some serious way of taking notes and trying to figure it all out in accord with some detailed formula of logic, because Zhuang Tzu throws out logic. Logic is always wrong because it's based on duality, right and wrong, good and bad, true and false. Logic is not the way the world works. It works by the truth of the heart. But you all know that. So, he says, while the mass of men are beleaguered and harried and busy, the sage is dim and dense and quiet, but scooping up time and space and smushing them all together, leaving them all to their own slippery mush, so that every enslavement is also an ennobling. You see, the world right now is in the process of the enslavement of the human species, but it is also a time when the possibility of ennoblement is present as never before in history. Can we take advantage of this duality of the most extreme sort and be able to bring the Tao, the singularity itself, into manifestation? This is the question. How do you do that? Well, here he brings up another master named Zichi. He was reclining against a low table on the ground, something like this, and releasing his breath into heaven above in a scatter as if loosed from a partner. In other words, he went into a kumbhaka. He stopped breathing. He sat in meditation without the need to breathe. His mind was so quiet that the metabolic process of breathing slowed down to the point that it stopped. For such a period that he entered the deepest samadhi of the Tao. Now, Yan Cheng Ziyu stood in attendance before him and asked, "What has happened here? Can your body really be made like dried wood, the mind like dead ashes? What is it that reclines against this table now that is not what reclined against it before?" You see? The one after samadhi is not the same one as the one before the samadhi. And he said, Zichi said, "A good question, Yan. What has happened here is simply that I have lost me." You understand? Until you lose me, you cannot find the Tao. Is everyone here mealless? Soon you won't be mealless, but you should be mealless beforehand. So he says, "Do you understand? You've heard the music of man, but you haven't yet heard the music of the earth. And even when you hear the music of the earth, it's not enough. You must hear the music of heaven. And you can only hear the music of heaven if the mind is not obscured by the chatter of a me." So, the way to the Tao is easy. The samadhi that remains silent throughout time. And so he says, and I'll give you as this last quote from Zhuangzi's teaching. Someone came to Confucius here. He's using Confucius as kind of a puppet here. And he's saying, I've tried everything to accomplish my goal, and this was to try to help the world, to make it all better. This is the period of warring states, and things are coming apart, and it was very impossible to make things better at that point. So it was naive to think you could work directly to improve the world, much as is the case now. And he said to Confucius, this poor disciple, but I have nothing more, no ideas, no energy. What should I do? And Confucius said, you must fast. Let me tell you something. To have something in your mind and then to go out and do that thing, do you think it's a simple matter? It's almost impossible. Majestic heaven does not accommodate those who look on this as easy. If you want to do anything real, anything valuable, it has to come from that level of the being that has no me. And so he said, what you have to do is to fast. And Yanhui said, well, my family is poor and I've had no wine or meat for many months. Could this be considered fasting? Confucius says, no. That's situational. And the fasting you do for a religious sacrifice, forget it. What you need is the fasting of the mind, the heart mind. Do you know how to fast the heart mind? And he asks, how do I do that? And Confucius said, if you merge all of your intentions into the singularity, you will come to hear with the mind rather than with the ears. Further, you will come to hear with the vital energy rather than with the mind. Okay? So we must hear not with the mind, not thoughts, but the prana. And not even the prana of the pranic body, but the prana that comes down from the Shaktipat. Not the kundalini that rises, but the Shakti that comes from the singularity. That is what we must listen to and listen with. So, he says, the ears are halted at what they hear. The mind is halted at whatever verifies its preconceptions. But the energy is in emptiness, awaiting for the presence of being. The Tao alone is what gathers in this emptiness. And it is this emptiness that is the fasting of the heart mind. And so we are here in this festival not to eat, but to fast. That will not make anyone happy. But we can let the body eat, but we should remain detached from the taste. And we should remain detached from the desire for more. And in that emptiness of radical acceptance of whatever is, that emptiness allows the Tao to manifest the optimal, the most beautiful, the most pure reflection of that of which we are the shadows. If we want the light to dissolve the shadows and create a new world of color, and of beauty that is unimaginable to the shadow mind, then we must fast that mind until the mind of Tao manifests as the nourishment of our being that enables us to be reborn as the deathless spirit. This is the teaching of my master, Zhuang. And for this, I had to get lost in China for many lifetimes. And only now have I been able to reappear because I have understood finally what he has taught. And I can tell you that it cannot be transmitted, not even by holding up a flower, because we are dealing with the energy of the dragon. The dragon. Does everyone recognize the dragon that dwells in your heart? Because it is only when the dragon heart has come out of the closet of its latency that the power of transformation of the world becomes realized. And for that, everyone must be fearless and desireless, so that an army of butterfly angels who are the great warriors of goodness and purity and joy are able to bring a new morphogenetic field to the world that brings a nightmare of Kali Yuga into the birth of a new kingdom of heaven. May all of us have the power to dream that dream into reality through the fasting and annihilation of every lesser dream that was only for the satisfaction of a petty ego rather than for the manifestation of the infinite Tao. This is the conversion that I suggest brings about the highest fortune. Namaste. Let us meditate. Enter the emptiness of the Tao that cannot be named, the self that has no form, beyond time and space, beyond all concepts. Enter the infinite and eternal essence of the real. And in the fasting silence of the heart, bring the Tao within to shine without. I think Master Zhuangzi has spoken clearly, but if anyone has questions, I will try to answer them before I return to my cave. Does everyone understand the teaching of Zhuangzi? Yes? Then this is that group selected by the Tao to manifest the supreme real here and now. So how now, great Tao? Yes, you have a question?
I have a question. Hmm? The emptying out of the mind heart, does this imply that the emotional body at some point became separate from the mental body?
Yes. That is why we lack integrity. We must integrate heart and mind, and integrate it into the great Tao, not simply as a separate individual being, but the beingness of all that is. The great dreamer of the one dream must be your true identity, in which there is no emotional body, but only the blissful self that is bodiless.
So can I read a poem?
Please, feel free.
This is my sacrifice of the emotional body for heart nectar, and it is spoken for all. Some say mere mortals, mere apparent mortals, copy appearance or copy essence. But this heart feels that the body of the Empress is the body of all worlds. It is the success of perfection and the perfection of success, spiritual success, that the sagely Zhuangzi seeds and reveals, which you have done. Her vast night of hearts is the full cup, her major arcana of Zen and death, singing and mourning, mourning and singing, oneself as fool. Now the moon on clear Zen mountain, clear Zen light, mystic rose glowing in the night, sky rose shines as the new China, and as Zhuangzi Shunya wrote, ancient future will refine ya. In fullness, new energy sings, music from heaven appears as its miracle, while China and Italy unite in this spectacle. Listen, aura of full night pearl is pure rose, lighting up the dark, even the stones sing in this arc. O Zen sky, the perfected painting of light and dark begins in the dragon congealed heart. This full moon shines in everyone's room. The dream that began with jade, thanks to the intelligence of our sage. And as every mystic rose knows, roses need water and fire to grow. They bloom in crescendo from the Father's metal. He coheres all the elements, and the rose expresses them in her petals. In the air of vast understanding, as full as the moon's white Zen light, the darkest night produces light. And below, all is fire, burning with spiritual desire. This clear Zen mountain is the rose fountain.
Now that we have arrived on the Rose Mountain, I am no longer required. I shall go back into my secret hibernation, because all of you are realized manifestations of the Tao. All shall proceed in perfection now.